The young writer Elma Baker didn't have a typical American childhood. She grew up in several cities around the world, London and Madrid, as well as New York. And, here goes the cosmopolitan stereotype, she's Mormon. Her new memoir, called The New York Regional Mormon Singles Halloween Dance, came out last week. It's a collection of pieces, and it contains one that she wrote especially for Studio 360 last year, called My Grandmother's Dress.
I always wanted to be beautiful. As a kid, I'd stare at a picture of my grandmother, the most beautiful woman that I knew, and I would daydream about it. She was 25 at the time, tall, elegant, thin, and she was wearing the sacred dress. My grandfather had brought back this silk fabric from the Korean War, black with tiny red blossoms. For 2 years, she worked on her dress. It had cap sleeves, went into a V at the neck, and flowed out into a wide bell at the bottom. It was breathtaking. I would stare at that picture and daydream the same dream each time. I was all grown up, I was finally beautiful, I was wearing the dress, and I was on a date with Brian Egbert, the most popular boy in first grade. One day, I couldn't take it anymore. I snuck the dress out of my grandmother's closet, stood in front of the mirror, delicately pulled it over my head, and then I tried to zip it. It didn't fit. I was 7 years old, and I was too fat to fit into my grandmother's dress. I was clinically obese. And it didn't help that my older sister was gorgeous. We took a family trip to Morocco when I was 12, and a man saw my sister on the street and stopped my parents to say, "Your daughter is the most beautiful creature on this earth. I will give you 1,000 camels for her." My parents said, "No, thank you," and hid my sister behind them. So the man turned to me, looked me up and down, and said, "I'll give you 100 camels for that one." $900. There is a 900 camel difference between me and my sister. The rest of my life can be described as a pursuit to be worth more camels. I tried not to let it get to me. I decided, you know, I'll make my personality so bright that no one will notice my body. At the time, I weighed 235 pounds. And sometimes this worked. But most of the time, it didn't. So I created a mantra. I am what I am. And I would repeat it every day. I am what I am, 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 I am what I am. It took a year. But eventually, it worked. I began to love myself just as I was, which made me think, what am I putting into my body? And so I went to a nutritionist, and he taught me about eating and exercise, and I went on a diet, and in 5.5 months, practically overnight, I lost 80 pounds. After I lost the weight, I looked in the mirror at my new body and thought, this doesn't make a difference. I am what I am. But it made a huge difference. I went home to visit my grandma. She went on and on about how proud she was. But I was like, enough small talk. And I headed straight for her closet. The sacred dress. I slid it over my head and zipped it up. As I turned to look in the mirror, it startled me. The dress fit like a glove, bringing out the curves in my body. I felt feminine. And for the first time since starting the diet, I stood still and I thought, I am beautiful. My grandfather started to cry, and my grandmother turned to me and said that she wanted to give me this dress as a gift for losing weight. And that's when I remembered my daydream. I'm all grown up. I have the dress. I'm finally beautiful. Now where's Brian Egbert, the most popular boy in first grade? He was somewhere in Washington State, married, and I lived in New York City. So I went on a quest to find the most popular boy in Manhattan. I spent all my time going to clubs, wearing size small outfits, and kissing male models just to prove that I could. But this wasn't the place to find my dream man, for many reasons. The main one being, I'm a practicing Mormon, and I don't put out. So to find the one, I had to go somewhere I hadn't been in a long time. The Singles Ward, a church group for single Mormons who live in Manhattan. Every week they have single activities designed to help us single Mormons meet one another and get married. I've always hated them because they feel like high school. The popular girls hang around the popular guys and leave to have popular by-invite-only parties, while the rest of us would stand on the sidelines watching, full of Christian envy. And that's when Doug moved in. Doug was undeniably the most attractive guy to ever frequent the Mormon singles scene, and the women lost it. They were baking him cookies and breaking their faucets left and right, flirting in a way only Christian girls know how to do. I couldn't compete with these women. I'd never really dated anyone. So I bought every manual ever written on how to land a man, from Why Men Love Bitches to Sex and the Single Girl, which is totally pointless if you're Mormon. And then I found it. Fascinating Girls, a book that was all about getting a man by being submissive. I decided to practice on Doug. Compliment his masculinity. The following Sunday, when I passed Doug in church, I said, "You look so strong and bear-like today." He beamed, and I was like, "What?" So I tried more. Beauty in distress. Every man wants to be your hero, so create situations for him to save you. The following Sunday, I dropped a bunch of papers in front of Doug and then looked up at him helplessly. Doug scooped up my papers, took my arm, and said, "Don't worry, babe. I got it." And I thought, these other girls don't stand a chance. When Doug finally made his move, it was as though all of us Mormon women were standing against the wall holding our breath. "Elna," he said, "can I take you to dinner?" The night of our date, I exfoliated, I moisturized, and then I put on the one item of clothing I knew without a doubt would make me look beautiful, my grandmother's dress. And then there I was, on my dream date, sitting across from Doug in the candlelight. And it felt great. In fact, it was all going according to plan, until Doug said, "Want to go somewhere else and get dessert?" "Dessert? I don't eat dessert." But I didn't want the date to end, so I said, "Sure." We walked down the street together. What am I going to do? And then I saw it, a beacon of light, a godsend, tasty delight. Halfway through our froyo, Doug turned to me. "I don't understand why women like this so much. It's not as good as regular ice cream." "Well, Doug," I said, "probably because ice cream has 320 to 350 calories and 20% of your daily fat, whereas Tasty D has no fat and only 40 calories." "This is gonna sound mean," Doug began, "but I just can't tolerate fat people." "Tolerate?" "A person cannot tolerate lactose, but they can tolerate someone who's fat." But then I remembered Fascinating Girls. "Never try to change a man. Gentle prodding is the way." So I said, "I think it's hard for fat people because they can't just ride by on good looks, and instead they have to develop personalities. In general, fat people are very nice." Doug looked at me. "Yeah, you're right. They're either nice or they're just bitter." He reached across the table and took my hand in his. "This is it," I thought. "This is being 1,000 camels." One or 1,000, it was still just a dirty, flea-ridden camel. And besides that, I knew. If this was a year earlier, he wouldn't even be speaking to me. All the work I'd put into this moment, the diet, the manuals, the lies, I'd done all of it for a person I no longer was. And I thought, she deserves this too. I looked back at Doug, and then I let go of his hand.
Elna Baker's new memoir is called The New York Regional Mormon Singles Halloween Dance.